Yo, 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 what up? It's your boy, Colby Mack, and this is the Colby Told Me podcast. Yo, whenever I want to deep dive with the Mack himself, where I get to amplify my movie reviews for your listening pleasure, would you please consider giving your boy a follow? I'm on all the socials at Colby Told Me on Twitter and Instagram, and sometimes I'm on Facebook at Colby Mack. Welcome, welcome, welcome back. This is episode 4, and shout outs to the new reigning best co-feature championship belt holder, because on Wednesdays, we wear pink. Oh, if y'all can't tell, and if you know this from me, a Colby Told Me cheat code are musicals. I'm a theater kid, a theater lover. I miss catching free shows on Broadway, off Broadway, and it absolutely sinks into the best of my sensibilities to be able to sing, dance, act. I've been a triple threat since I was 10 years old, so when I get to see folks that are doing what I love to do on the big screen and having a ball at the beginning of the new year, I live for this. If you can't tell, I'm beyond excited and happy to bestow the belt on my favorite film of the year. And this is probably one that I wasn't excited for it, right? I will say that there was so much catharsis that I was experiencing. And I'm wondering if other older millennials are kind of experiencing the same thing, because we all knew that there was a Mean Girls Broadway show adapted from, you know, the 2004 hit. Now, I was a junior in high school in 2004, so Mean Girls was very much a part of my upbringing. And I'm wondering if older millennials like myself are thinking like, yo, is this the first property to make us feel old, because it's a remake, quote unquote, of something that was principally from like our childhood, like our teenage formative years. And I can't think of another property that's been remade. And essentially, it's like for us, like, my daughter's 11, and she is a little bit removed from like Mean Girls, but she's excited to go see it. I can't wait to see what Rai Rai is going to tell me about her thoughts on Mean Girls. But like, I wonder if anyone's out there feeling the same way. Like, yo, I'm old. Like, I just turned 37, and like, don't get it twisted, I still lead my life like a young man, and thank God for my beautiful skin. I'm going to look 37 for the next 20 years, you know what I'm saying? But this was an interesting experience, and while I wasn't like super duper excited because I didn't know what to expect, I went in very cold. I didn't really try to watch too many trailers, which, to be honest with you, the trailers were deceptive as fuck, because it kind of wanted to steer away from the fact that this is very much a musical. They put that little music note inside the title. And if you watch the trailer, it kind of has a lot of musicality that we would see in a lot of other film trailers. But like, this is a full-on musical, folks. So if you're brand new, this is a musical, right? This is a movie musical based off of the successful Broadway musical that was based off of the 2004 hit with Lindsay Lohan and Rachel McAdams and everybody else. This is Mean Girls. Katie Heron, and that C-A-D-Y, Heron, is a hit with the plastics. An A-list girl clique at her new school when she makes the mistake of falling for Aaron Samuels, the ex-boyfriend of Alpha Plastic, Regina George. They call me Regina George. Yo, okay, all right. First and foremost, I had to do some digging. Because when I tell you that I went in cold, like I went in super duper cold, Renee Rapp, it's a podcast. I'm standing up right now. I'm giving this queen a standing ovation because she deserves it. She blew my damn mind. And listen, I take notes when I'm at the theater. I keep my light all the way down. I make sure it's out of the way. I try to catch a back row if I can. And I love the fact that I would jot down little things. And like, I remember when I saw Renee Rapp, because like, yeah, I seen it in the trailer and stuff like that, but seeing her operate like inside of this film, I said, oh, baddie. And like, Regina George is iconic, right? I think what Rachel McAdams did at a young age is she seems so far divorced from that character Renee Rapp makes Regina George something else. This Regina, certified baddie. I don't know necessarily if the archetype of like the bad bitch, just like I'm popular, you're not, still exists in high school. I can't even say that in my high school it was like that. It seemed a bit more group collective of that. But I think for what the movie collective and what we understood societally in regards to that archetype, like that's very much a thing on TV and film, right? And I think that Renee's transformation and kind of making it her own, this Regina George stands out. I mean, aside from presence, aside from voice and look and performance, this girl can sing. Like, even before we get to the movie, the fact that there's a banger out right now with Meg Thee Stallion called It's Not My Fault, it's early, right? We're only in week two of the new year, and I'm curious to see if it has staying power. Kind of like Dua Lipa's, you know, song with Barbie. Could this get a possible Oscar nomination? I'm fine with starting the campaign, because it's a damn good song. And I think that we're leaning into a time where the Academy and the awards body wants to open itself up to more diverse audiences. And I don't think that anyone would think necessarily that Mean Girls 2024 would be an Oscar player. But this is also a musical. And damn, the music is really, really good. I mean, out the gate, you got Katie's song. And let me tell you something, Angourie Rice, I can't remember exactly, like, I don't know where, I'm trying to put a pin on it of like where she was from and stuff like that. And I was like, wait, she's like really familiar. Like, what did she do before, right? Like, oh, yo, that's like the little girl from The Nice Guys. Like, she was inside Spider-Man Homecoming. Like, she's been doing some things, small scale. It is so dope to see her here. And what I did not research how much, like, if this is her, if she's familiar, like, affiliated with, like, the Broadway show and things of that nature. But, like, yo, she's good. Her voice is so light and sweet and airy. And having her set the stage and then have, you know, Janice and Damian come in and let... I need to catch my breath. Because Ali Carvalho, oh my God, she's a goddess. All right. And then I was like, wait, that voice sounds so familiar. Yo, that's Moana. Okay, understand this, right? Being a dad changed some things for me, right? And when I saw Moana and I heard Moana, and it was just one of those things where I wasn't like full-time, you know, criticizing film at that time. My daughter watched it over and over and over again. But that voice is buried within inside of my brain because that voice was just so like angelic. Yo, let me tell you, like Ali, she's divine. I remember watching the first Mean Girls and like Janice was like the side character, the best friend, but like the story wasn't about her, right? It was about Katie, right? This is as much Katie's film as it is Janice's film. Like, this is so good. And I didn't realize that like the Broadway show really offered this amazing dimensionality to all these different characters. And there's a lot of like differences between what the show did and what the movie did, which makes sense. But like every time that Janice is on screen, I am captivated. And yo, shout out to my big gay homie, Damian, AKA Jaquel Spivey. He's good, great voice. And the entirety of the plastics with, you know, B.B. Wood and Avantika, like, okay, as a 37-year-old man, it was hard to not be like, damn, you girls are bad, bro. Because it's different than like Amanda Seyfried and What's-Her-Face. Oh, God, I feel bad for saying What's-Her-Face. But like Gretchen Rieders and Karen, it's just like the casting works out so great because the toughest thing that I had in the beginning of this film is not feeling like I wasn't being inundated with like either shot for shot or beat for beat, because this very much is beat for beat of the 04 film, and that's okay. It does take a moment for you to get past that and it becomes fully its own because the music is so good. It is fun. It is poppy. It is showy. It is still Broadway, but very much modern. And I feel like so much of what I felt after the film is banger inside. And Avantika and B.B. Wood, like, these plastics are very different than those plastics. These plastics, man, ooh, bad as fuck. I'll tell you that right now. I mean, you know, Aaron Samuels, like the guy who portrayed him, Christian Briney, like he's generic. And then you've got, you know, Jenna Fischer from The Office. She's, you know, she's, she's just Jenna Fischer, you know? Like, she really, really is. And shout outs to Busy Phillips as Regina's mama. She is doing too much, but really having a ball. And Tina Fey, yo, shout out to Tina Fey for being the pen that led and championed the first film and, you know, did some writing work on the Broadway show and then comes back to do this 20 years later. And Tina Fey, I don't know, she got some like melanin in her or something like that, because she still looks like Tina Fey from 20 years ago. And Tim Meadows, Mr. Duval, like everybody is having a really good time. And I love when a film can just have fun. And I think the beautiful thing as a performer is that by the end of this film, it feels like the show ended, right? And I remember the magic that I would feel when I get the curtain call and the curtains will close. And it felt so singular to that moment that something just like, wow, I can't believe we just did this. And that's the moment that I felt at the end of the film. And I think that's something that's really special, is that primarily musicals, because of like the performance part to it, it is a show. And there's certain moments when it breaks the fourth wall, and I found that to be so refreshing. I think Tina Fey's work on this was spectacular. And, you know, shout out to the director, Samantha Jane and Arturo Perez Jr. Like, this was great. I wasn't familiar with the Broadway show, but like, it was all the rage. And I knew that, right? And we're going to keep getting this, you know, movie to Broadway to movie musical, right? Like, we just had it with The Color Purple. Please go watch it. Amazing film. Check out the podcast too. And then we finally, after years and years and years, have Wicked coming out a little bit later. So like, I cannot, ultimately, you will fall in love with the music during the movie. You will love the music and want to have this shit on repeat at the end of it. Meet the Plastics with Regina. Like, every time that Renee is singing, legitimately, it's like the baddest bitch in the world has opened her mouth and is just like, I'm here, what is up? And all you want to do is just listen to it. Like, there's a song that she does, oh my God, that someone gets hurt, where it's inside of this house party that's, the Halloween party, and everything goes still. I thought it was so imaginative. It was so creative. I love the choreography. Now, there's definitely points in time where it gets a little show tuney, not in this performance, but in other ones adjacent and around the story. But every song that Renee Rapp lends her voice to as Regina George, banger, right? It's really, really good. And that doesn't go to say that all the other songs are greatly impressive, because every song that Janice, AKA Ali, is on, like I said, it's coming down from, she is a gift from the Polynesian gods, and she's friggin' gorgeous. Oh my gosh, she's beautiful. She's a beautiful young woman. And like, Apex Predator, like, it's really, really good. Like, it slaps. Like, it's super creative. I love it. Stupid with Love, it's so good. Even like, there's this moment that's given to Gretchen Wiener's character by BB called What's Wrong With Me, and she's having this music by it. It's such a touching, like, just little, like, accentuation to that character. And I'm glad that each of the Plastics had their moment. I mean, Avantika with Sexy. Yeah, you've seen bits and pieces of it inside of the trailer. I'm quite sure she's over the age of 18, and I know that she's supposed to be portraying a high school. So it made some complex emotions inside of me, because her body is carved out of Indian stone. That's the point, guys, okay? I'm not being creepy. Like, that's the point. The song is called Sexy. That it is. Like, it is titillating, I will say, this song. And it goes really, really hard. Revenge Party with Damien and Janice. And, of course, you got Renee back again as Regina with World Burn. And Janice gets this amazing revenge song with I'd Rather Be Me, where I'm like, yo, this is legitimately like, I mean, granted, I know it's early, but like, I could just continue to gush. And yo, I'm gushing so much that I'm changing my score in real time, because like, I felt one way in watching the movie, but then after sleeping on it, and then after listening to the music, like, I am here. Like, the little gay Kobe inside of me that was like this music theater kid that's just like, yes, bitch, I want to get up and dance. That's how excited I am. I hope you can hear it. The movie is fetch. Like, and I think that this is like, do not try to busy yourself with comparing it. It's going to be a little hard, especially if you're my age, because of how iconic that the original is. But I think that goes to show just how thematically resonant that these stories still are, where this movie 20 years later still hits. And we're going to have these type of archetypes, these type of conflicts forever. And you could just always reflect on where you were when you watched it and kind of hand it off to someone else. And then you've got dope ass music to be able to listen to as well. So like, yo, plastics are forever, you know? And so is teen angst and drama and love and teen this and teen that. Like, this Mean Girls, it sings a new song while celebrating those familiar beats, but like at its strongest, like this contemporary musical stylings that just hit so many high notes. Please listen to the soundtrack. Like, it pays homage to the OG while very much standing on its own, on its doing its own thing, its own way, its own fae, if I may say. Like, this is the 20-year encore that we deserve. And I feel great just gushing it with you because in real time, the Kobe Tomi rating, I'm changing from what was an 8 to a 9 out of 10. This is a banger. This is written, this is directed by Samantha Jane and Arturo Perez Jr. This is written, of course, by one of the greatest comedy writers working today, Tina Fey. This is starring Angori Rice, Renee Rapp, Ali Carvalho, Jacquel Spivey, Avantika, B.B. Wood, Christopher Briney, Jenna Fisher, Busy Phillips, Tina Fey, Tim Meadows, Lindsay, oh! I didn't want to, I don't want to spoil it. This is, it's also got John Hamm and Ashley Park. It is now playing in theaters everywhere. Well, that'll do it for this one. Can't wait to get you the next one. Until then, like, subscribe, comment, and share. Join me on the caravan back to the New Testament with James Samuels, the Book of Clarence. That podcast will be dropping soon. And remember, when they ask you where you heard it from, tell them Kobe told me. Peace.